I'm going to go ahead and give a primer for the episode. Okay. All right, we're back, and this is going to be an extra long episode, but highly informative episode of the Web Fiction World at webfictionworld.com. No, that sounds too bad. No, I got it, because I want to prime it like right before the opening music. Right. Hey, gang! No. All right, strap yourselves in. This is going to be an extra long but extra informative re-debut of Web Fiction World here at webfictionworld.com. There, I think that'll work.
Yeah.
You're listening to Web Fiction World at webfictionworld.com.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Web Fiction World here at webfictionworld.com. And I just wanted to let you know, in case you're hearing this in your podcatcher, if you're seeing it on the website, we are going to be starting up once again with Web Fiction World podcast updates. A little bit different from what we were doing before. We're not doing serials anymore. We're gonna be focusing our attention on readings still. But this starting September 2013, which it might already be by the time you listen to this, we're going to go through, we've kind of got compiled a list already of like the first couple of chapters or possibly some short stories of various web fiction around the web. And basically, our focus is going to be looking at a multitude of web fiction offerings out there and reading maybe 10 to 20 minutes worth of the beginning content or content that would be a good primer or a setup to get into and go to their sites and finish reading the story. So instead of reading the entire story, unless we do some short stories, we hope to entice you with a verbal reading, or in some cases, a slight performance. We'll see how things go in the coming months. We'll probably start every other week and see how things go as we add things. People are for sure free to submit their own stuff. We'll have a link on this podcast about how you can do that and what we're particularly looking for. Everything will go through a vetting process. I could babble on forever, but there's a whole lot more information on the website. So, and of course, we have the right to not read anything we get for various reasons, but I'm trying to be as inclusive as possible, probably playing a little safe with some rating of content here and there, but it's on a case-by-case basis. So I'm basically what I'm doing, I'm not saying no automatically right away, unless it's like hate material, essentially, or illegal material. You know, those are automatic no's. We will not put hate mongering stuff on our site or how to make bombs on our site or whatever you got, however your story may be. More information at webfictionworld.com or at the Webcast Beacon Network, the parent company, so to speak, of Web Fiction World. Again, links will be provided in the show notes for this particular episode of Web Fiction World. I'm Fess. Hey, did I mention I'm Fess? You probably knew that already. And with me, we have Kira from the Epic Guide and the Epic Guide's Epicast podcast, or the Epi, for those of you might already know her from epicguide.com. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Fess. It's great to be here again.
Woo! That's right. You were on once before. Were
yes,
you?
Yes, ages ago. I think it was like episode 7.
That's right. I was just talking with you before, because the Epic Guide, we've affiliated with Epic Guide and the Epicast. And I wasn't sure because I think I was talking to you about it. It's like, hey, these are some ways you can improve the audio quality of your podcast. And so go ahead and check it out. Check out the Epic Guide, of course, at the epicguide.com, and you can get a link to the Epicast, which I think is epicguide.podbean.com presently anyway.
Yes, indeed.
If it changes in the future, I'm sure we'll get an update. So there's that. And of course, go ahead and pitch the Epicast.
Okay, well, the Epicast is much like Web Fiction World used to be. It gives a rundown of the latest news in the world of web fiction. We focus mostly on serialized storytelling. We also include sort of newsy recaps of latest installments that web serial writers send us. We also include, sometimes there's an interview, sometimes there's a lengthy discussion about either a writing-oriented topic or just a general discussion about how certain things are handled in various web serials. So, I'm trying to think of what else. Oh, we also do previews of upcoming storylines in serials. So it's basically just a way of teaching people about the world of web serials and teasing the storylines a lot.
All right. And tell me a little bit about what happened last month in August of 2013. What happens in August?
Oh, well, what happens in August is our massive web serial writing month, also known as WebSeriMo. And that is our take on NaNoWriMo, which is very well known for novel writers. It's basically a month-long marathon where we tell people to come up with their own specific goals. They can choose a word count goal or a number of installments or whatever they choose. And basically, they write the heck out of themselves throughout August. And that's actually occurring as we record. I know that you just said last month right now. I'm sorry. I don't mean to spoil the, suspension of disbelief, but yes. But anyway, so a lot of people are taking part, and it's just a wonderful way of supporting the writers of this really fairly new format.
And let's see here, and because of the EpicGuide and Webcast Beacon Network, which includes Web Fiction World, are affiliated. I'm going to try to talk with Kara here for some ways that we can do some other sort of collaborative things, or maybe a small competition of which we get some participants from EpicGuide to get their some of their works read on for Web Fiction World. So I figure that might be a little bit fun, but nothing quite detailed just yet, but it is certainly something that I'm going to be talking with Kira about for something in the future.
Cool. I absolutely think that people would, or should hope that people would look forward to the opportunity to have their work read over the air. It's a wonderful promotional idea. Mm-hmm. And also, it's just, I would imagine it's a unique way of hearing your own words.
Oh, yeah.
For the first time.
Especially not with the voice in your head part.
Yeah, or multiple voices. That would be even scarier. Well, yeah.
So here's the thing. Is some of the stuff, some of the people that I've got working with me, Michael Corley I know her name. Michael Corley is one of the newer readers, one of the new people we got for doing readings, and he's done some professional voice acting before. And Kara Dennison is returning once again to do some more readings as well. And I listened to one of Michael's who did The Only City Left, the chapter one, parts 1-3, I think. And of course, we get permission to do all of these, unless it's like, Creative Commons license that we don't have to ask.
Right.
Typically, I've asked permission for a lot of these, and I've vetted and everything that we gets read, it's vetted in some form. But I was listening to one, and he's like, you can picture him like at a campfire, like telling this story. It's like, wow, it sounds really good. I really want to read like the rest of it. I mean, I'd like to hear it, the rest of it, but that's a lot of work and a lot of time.
Right.
And I do want to mention, we had, what is the Red Riding Hood story by...
Yeah, Tales of the...
Tales of the Big Bad Wolf.
Yes.
And that was by... Because her screen name screws me up.
Yeah, it's SGL, Shirley.
Sonia Clark? Is that it?
No, I think her handle is SGL. I know that on...
Was that SGL? Well, I should probably knew this. I wasn't expecting to go into all of this extra detail. WebFictionWorld.com.
The delete key comes in very handy, I'm sure.
But nah, I'll just let this fly. Let's see here. Yeah, Sonia Clark was the other story that we were reading serials for. SGL was Tales of the Big Bad Wolf writing. I've been screwing that up. They both have S's and their Twitters don't match up right.
Right.
Sonia Clark does have her Gmail. And so what the thing was, SGL's Tales of the Big Bad Wolf is still on the website. What's not on the website is something of Sonia Clark's, which... because we had to remove it because of this is the agreement. Like, if anybody's in like conversations with the publisher or whatnot, and you know, it's one of the terms of they can't, you know, don't have anything else online for it, we will take it off. I mean, that's you're going for a publisher, we will comply and we'll take it down. So it's not like you're in some sort of like contract or anything. We're basically doing it's a license to use, is what we're going for. It's a license to use on our website. And if you're in a, and if you'd like us to take it down, we'll take it down. So there it goes. So we're not trying to like get you out of anything or whatever. So it's all
right.
Cool.
And there's no exclusivity clause or anything.
Well, we'd like you to be exclusive, but with as far as web podcast availability, but I don't think I have an exclusivity thing there. Again, license to use is what we're going for. So, and I was trying to look up Sonia Clark's thing on here, but I took it off. That's why I don't see it. You know, I can't remember what it was. It's the Key of Darkness. It was the Key of Darkness. That's what it was. Part of the Bradbury Institute series that she was doing.
Oh.
Okay. Ah, yes. There it is. I remember! All right. So.
I'm just surprised that just a reading would be like a violation of whatever.
Well, I'm not sure if it was a violation or if she was just in talks and they didn't, you know, I have no idea what's in a publisher's mind. Right. But, you know, I'm not here to cause waves because there's no point in that. It's not like I'm, you know, they're not huge or anything. So whatever. what I wanted to do, the reason why we came here today, is to go over a little bit of a web fiction primer, you know, kind of revisit the first episode where we talked a little bit about, people getting into web fiction. What is web fiction? And also partly because I inadvertently forgot that I signed up to do a web fiction podcast at an upcoming convention, no less. And, I wasn't entirely prepared to do it solo, so I wanted to pick at Kara's mind for information, and I'll totally plug Epiguide and everything because of the help that she's supposedly going to give me on this particular episode.
Don't count chickens before they're hatched.
So,
no, I'm sorry. Did you say a podcast, or did you mean a panel?
I'm doing a panel. Okay. I'm doing a panel, and I'm making it into a podcast because this is information that can be shared.
Excellent.
So I do have a few questions for multiple questions for Kira here. And we're going to start off with, you know, going really, you know, basic stuff here to get a start, because this panel is quite possibly for people that have never heard of web fiction. So they're going to ask, what is web fiction?
Well, I would answer that it is fiction that is posted online. Yeah, I know it's that basic. Basically, it's really an umbrella term. It is really the broadest term that I can think of.
One way that I've always used to try to explain what web fiction was, it's basically like web comics but with no pictures. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, I guess that's a way of looking at it. I think it's, I don't want to say sad, but I think it's a shame that like a story would have to be explained as, well, it's like this thing that doesn't have pictures. I don't know.
Well,
that sounds...
you know, you'll get like one small piece of a storyline of a webcomic because the art takes, you know, a lot of extra time to physically do. And then, but web fiction, a lot of times you'll get like parts of chapters or a whole chapter. I've usually seen around, you know, you can see between like, you know, 1,000 to 2,000 words on average for like a chapter or a chapter part. Something like that, it seems like, as far as like a multiple update per week sort of thing, usually is what I've been seeing. What about your experience of how you've seen people update their web fiction series?
I'm glad that you mentioned the word series or serial in there, because like, to me, web fiction can just be a one-off short story. It could be, you know, a tiny little poem, right, or, you know, flash fiction. But a web serial is sort of the subgenre within there. And that means to me something that has been serialized in either chapters or installments or whatever people want to call it, scenes.
Right.
So what have I seen? I've seen everything from a 500-word, you know, mini scene to, one of my own would be on the upper level, which I average about 11,000 to 13,000 words, an installment.
We're talking per update here. Is that week?
Yes.
That's a week.
Yeah. When I'm rocking, yep, it's a per week.
Wow. So it can vary a lot.
Yes, it does. But most people are not that wordy and ridiculously garrulous, or whatever the word is. So no, they usually stick to about, say, 1,500 to 3,000 words.
Okay, we might come up this a little, because I'm going through the numbered questions here. So we're going to talk about schedule once again. But part of the flip side of this, I'm expecting some of the people in attendance, since it's sort of off the back of an anime convention, they might ask, is it something like when people put fan fiction online?
Well, it's exactly like that, except that it's original rather than based on, you know, in a pre-existing entity such as, you know, a movie or a TV show or a book series or whatever.
I mean, if web fiction is the blanket umbrella, would it be fair to say that fan fiction is like a small subset underneath the web fiction umbrella term?
Yes, I absolutely would, assuming it's posted online, sure.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah, most, yeah.
And these days, of course, it usually is.
Right, posted online. That's the key part, web fiction.
So web fiction, the uber term, and then you have things underneath it. And fan fiction is certainly one element of it.
Mm-hmm. So is web fiction like a new thing?
Depending on your definition of new, as far as the web goes, no, it's not. There have been people posting stories on the web as long as it's been around. Just as people have been telling stories as long as we've had that ability. I think that first people have this instinct to want to share their the weird things that go on inside their brains. So the web has made that extremely easy. So I would say, even ignoring just the internet part of the online experience, because the internet and the web are kind of separate, the internet's been going on for like 30, 40 years now. And people have been posting stories on what was then called, you know, news groups and bulletin board services and so on.
BBS.
Yeah, BBSs.
For you kids out there.
I know. Gosh, I know. I'm so old compared to everyone else.
We used to get the internet through the phone.
I feel so like a grandmother. It's not even funny. But no, as far as web fiction goes, I would date it to around 1994, 1995. Probably one of the best known examples in this early era was The Spot, which was what we would now call probably blog fiction. It took the conceit that it was five or six people living in a beach house, and they were each posting their diary entries online. So it was kind of a proto-blog, really.
Was it like, are you saying this is a story that was pretending to be like a bunch of people?
Exactly. It was pretending. And people genuinely thought that it was real. That's how naive people were.
Wow. This is back in like 94, 95. And that was, hey, that sounds ahead of its time, actually. You know, when you think about it.
Ahead of its time.
Wow.
And it was also proportionally the most popular thing like ever, you know, considering there were like seven of us online at the time. So, you know, if you got six of us to read it, that's a pretty damn popular show. But no, they had, thousands of people.
Yeah.
And just the idea that you were able as a reader to interact with these characters, because the people would post as their characters in response to whatever people were saying. You know, and like a reader would say, oh, could you post a picture of yourself, you know, eating a strawberry? That would be usually a guy to one of the girl characters. And so they would do that. They would, you know, upload a photo, which, of course, in those days would take you about 30 minutes to download. And people were amazed that you could say something and a story would actually change in response to what you were saying as an audience member or a reader.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really... It certainly inspired a lot of us in those early years. I've been, I'm a writer myself of a web serial that's been going on since 1997. And a lot of what inspired me was this interactivity and the idea that you can have an experience with a reader that is really completely different from the one a book reader has with an author, or usually a TV series with an audience member, or at least... most likely you're not having a one-on-one experience. I mean, with Twitter, that's changing a bit, but in web fiction, you can really have quite an intimate relationship with your readers. And it's like a back and forth thing, and I just adored it. So that's what led me to start things. And so, as I said, these things go back as far as the longest running, continually running serial is probably Crime Scene Evidence File, which dates to 1995. And it's a series of mysteries that allows readers to solve the crimes. They post, you know, accident reports and newspaper reports and all these things. So it's kind of a fun puzzle / fiction story. And then there's Footprints, which has been running since October 1997. He beat me by 1 month, which drives me crazy, but just passed its 700th episode or installment, which is astonishing, weekly for 16 years. So,
okay.
That's amazing.
Let's, another question here is weblit, web serials, and I know that the background of the Epiguides logo... has like all of these different other things, all these different other words behind it. Web fiction, web serials, websites, podcast, you do podcasts, serial stories, and all of this sort of stuff. There's so many different things. Is there any sort of like conformity of particular words in as far as like the majority of the if you say this, they're going to know exactly what you're talking about? Because it sounds like a bit of a marketing problem if you want to search for or something.
Yeah, there is a bit of a difficulty. There was the weblit term came about a couple of years ago because some writers were concerned that web fiction or web fic sounded too much like fan fiction, and therefore they wanted to distinguish themselves as being literary. And so weblit was preferable. And also they wanted a short term, I have to admit, it's logical reasoning, so that it could be used as a hashtag on Twitter. And the shorter you are, obviously, the less space you're taking up with, you know,
all right,
just hashtags. So that is the genesis of that. And really, it hasn't caught on. And honestly, as someone who prefers to be Catholic in her reading, and I like the variety, and I don't look down on fan fiction or anything, I'm glad that it didn't really take... so sorry to that person who coined that term. But anyway, so I would say web fiction and web serials are the ones that are really the most popular.
Okay.
Again, web fiction being more of the umbrella term, and web serials meaning something that is serialized, whether it's a novel that you've already written and are posting in regular chapters, or a continuing serial that goes on and on and on forever, like a soap opera or a TV show that doesn't have an ending.
Now, possibly a little bit of controversy here. I know when, because I'm from the Webcomic Beacon podcast, and I'd always, it's like when people put web space comic, I was like, it's supposed to be together. It's like webcomic. And then I look at your latest episode of Epicast number 14, you have web space serial. For web serials, like, but you have web serials together as a single word in the background, and it's like, does it matter? Or
I use both mainly to get both of them. You know, this is a little bit of strategic usage because some people just use the word serials when they're looking for something. So if I just want to make sure that that word is out there separately at least once or twice, but I would definitely prefer web serial as one word. You know, we now use web series generally as one word, which used to mean web serial, but that's been taken over by the video folks. So I no longer use that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It was totally co-opted. I resent them very much for that. But yeah, so I think one word is just easier and flows better. So in general, that's what I would go for if it's that important.
Okay. All right.
You seem like quite the, you know, you really like that uniformity thing.
I do.
Yep.
See, guy. No.
A little bit of OCD there.
No. Nah, we won't go into it, but we will. We will take a quick break. And when we come back, more.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network. Follow us on Twitter at WebFictionWorld. Email us at WebFictionWorld@gmail.com. Or leave us a voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. Love the show? Please grab the iTunes or RSS feed. We're also on Stitcher.com with Stitcher Smart Radio, an on-demand service where you can stitch podcast and radio show feeds together for your own personal streaming service. The Webcast Beacon Network. Covering and promoting creativity in the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic books, news, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
Am I making any sense? I have no idea.
You're making enough sense.
Okay, just enough to be understood by, you know, people with like a marginal understanding of the English language. Okay.
Yes, marginal. So where would we go to read web fiction? Like even like the various types of web fiction and web serials out there is like, it's, I mean, it's like, it's how do you find things to read?
Well, there are numerous directories, where writers can list their serials or series or fiction. Among them is probably the largest, web fiction guide. I think that's just webfictionguide.com. Then there's Muse's Success is another one. Then, of course, the Epic Guide. We have our own directory as well. There's also, if you're on Twitter, there is a site that's called TuesdaySerial.com. And that's a really nice way of getting a taste because people just post links to their installments, their latest installments. So you can just kind of take a look at someone's latest work and get a feel for how they're writing. And if you like it, you can just read through the whole thing. So that's a nice thing. And it's different every week. So that's a lot of fun. Then, of course, there are communities that allow you to post your own work.
I was just going to ask about hosting because with webcomics, that usually comes up. But when you got just text, I was kind of curious about that.
Right. Well, for, I mean, and again, talking about readers, this is almost easier for them because if you go to the largest community that I can think of right now, well, there are two. There's Wattpad, which is just massive. And there are millions and millions of readers and thousands of writers. And most of those people are writing serialized novels or series. And that skews young.
Is that Wattpad or Wattpad?
Wattpad.
Wattpad.
Like a bulb, you know.
Wattpad. Okay. We'll get all these links in the show notes.
Yes. Sorry if I'm not articulating enough. Then there is, what was I thinking? Oh, Fiction Press. Fiction Press is the original stories wing of the very, very popular site, fanfiction.net.
Yep.
So they have their own original, you know, wing of that. Then there is a site, and I know I'm going to mess this up because I literally cannot pronounce this without, you know, ruining my tongue. Jukepop Cereals.
Jukepop Cereals?
Yes. Jukepop Cereals. And suddenly we sound like a bad commercial. Yeah, so it's hard to say, but anyway, it's a site where authors can post their work, and I believe there is actually some exclusivity there for at least 6 months. And readers can, they have to sign up through, I think, either Facebook or some other login thing, but it's free for readers, and you can find material there as well. And there are a few other networks that I know I'm leaving out, but I can direct you to those.
Well, if you can get me those links,
yes,
I'll get them in the show notes.
Yes.
So we talked a little bit about places that will also host, as well as directories. But how does one get into actually just getting out and making their own web fiction? What are steps that prominent web fiction writers should take?
Well, would be prominent ones anyway.
Would be prominent.
Prospective. Okay, that's the best one. Well, in many ways, it's the same way you would approach writing any type of work, you know, as a regular author, if you're intending to be traditionally published, which means print publishing. You want to have a solid idea for your story. And assuming that you're going for serial, either an entire novel that's you're going to be serialized that has an ending, or it just continues on and on. You want to have some plan and some idea about how you're going to break up the story.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, then you have to write it and find a place to post it and decide again on a posting schedule that I know we're going to get to. One trick that you would want to do is you want to end on a moment of your installment on a moment of high stakes for whatever your characters are going through. And that doesn't have to be like a life or death thing, but you want people to have to return and read that next installment. So you have to establish that, you know, it could just be a test that a character is taking and she really needs to get an A on it. If you have established this character well enough as, you know, vulnerable and likable and, you know, really, really needing this test, then the reader will want to come back, even though it's not that huge a deal, you know. So, you know, a good sense of suspense is needed. You know, you need a good feel for what will keep people coming back to you.
I could also field a little bit of this one. I mean, it's from like the webcomics perspective or comic perspective. Now, I'm going to go ahead and just guess. If you're doing web fiction, you could just as easily put up a script. I'm sure writing in prose isn't something that you're going to be forced to do, but if you want to like put up scripts, I'm sure that'd be quite acceptable, right?
You know, I'm really glad you mentioned that because yes, there is actually a massive community for people who write basically screenplays or teleplays, you know, for pseudo TV series.
Yeah.
So they, and they're very high quality. It's called mzptv.co.uk. It's a British owned site. and they have just a wonderful setup. They're extraordinarily supportive to writers. So if that's what you want to do and you're interested in writing a script, I would definitely recommend that particular community. But that certainly counts as web fiction as well.
Right, and even from my webcomic peeps out there, writers who can't find an artist, maybe this is something that you could look into, and maybe if you get enough of your own stuff on there, maybe you could court an artist or something like that if they can see how well you can write a script. There's a question I haven't pre-asked you on here. I'm going to ask it now, I'm going to ask it now. And we can come back to it if you don't know, have an answer for right away. Are there any online sources for basically how to properly or best write prose or scripts, you know, something like actual writing aids so that people write correctly, so to speak, especially if they want to be courted by a publisher?
That is a great question. I would say for writing scripts, then really the site I just mentioned, mcptv.co.uk, is an excellent resource. They have a lot of discussion about proper formatting for screenplays or script formats. As far as how to write, gosh, like there's like everywhere is writing information. I can't off the top of my head think of one particular site. Oh, well, there's Writer's Digest, is one they have a lot of tutorials, I believe. Mm-hmm. There's a massive community called AbsoluteWrite.com, and that is also for writers, and they are very happy to give you advice and suggestions. And actually, the Epiguide is also another community where we have lots of information. We have a world famous character creation guide, where it's basically like a character dossier where people can create characters in.
Okay.
So that we're another one. And Web Fiction Guide also includes, has its own community. So those are all resources I would look into.
Okay. Now the big one, Oxford comma.
If you're British, yes.
If you're American, no. Always Oxford comma. Always.
I actually like the Oxford comma because that's how I speak. I think it's more natural to how you speak. And I notice it when it's missing more than I notice it when it's there.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're combining the last two items.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, okay. All right. We'll move on from that. So,
that is like so inside baseball right there. what he means, just in case you don't know, the Oxford comma refers to when you have a series of, three or more items in a list. I like baseball, football, basketball, and soccer. Do you include a comma right before you say "and soccer," or do you not? The Oxford comma is that you include a comma, and that's more, it's from the British style of writing.
All right.
Nowadays, modern newspaper style is not to include that final comma. So.
Oh, well, they're wrong, because I got the best example here. This is an image I found. I'll try to find the original artist, because it's not signed on this particular piece, particular image I have. But I did a Google image search for Oxford comma and then switched for images. And there's a bunch of examples of this particular comic up there. And so we have, with the Oxford comma, colon, we invited the strippers, comma, JFK, comma. We invited the strippers, comma, JFK, comma, and Stalin, period. And then there's a picture of JFK, Stalin, and a couple of strippers. Without the Oxford comma, we invited the strippers, comma, JFK, and Stalin. And then we have JFK and Stalin as strippers.
Right.
So there's your danger.
Well, there you go. I mean, a lot of it, I mean, you have to include a comma when it's going to be that ambiguous. I mean, in my example of just liking, you know, something that basic, obviously,
yeah,
then you wouldn't really need a comma.
But. I can see it if you're like separating things that are clearly separated. And it's like, you know, there's no such thing as basketball. Oh, wait. No. hot contented topic.
Oh,
here.
This totally is. We could go like have a show just about this topic, but yeah.
All right. So
it wouldn't be that interesting.
I don't know. Maybe. You know what? There's this podcast called One Word Go. Just and give them Oxford comma as their word. Okay. So. Let's see here. Going on to more of the questions that I had. How would one decide their update schedule? I would suggest typically you'd want to try for something at least once a week. At least is what I would think.
Yeah, I would recommend that. What the most important thing, whatever schedule you choose, is to be regular. It's true in one's digestive system, and it's true in your publication system. You just want readers to be able to trust you, that you're going to keep updating, and to form the habit of going back to your site every week or every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or whatever your schedule is. Okay, so that's number one. And I will also counter this by saying I'm a total hypocrite because I have no regular schedule myself. So there, I admit it. Anyway, but besides that, a lot of it really does have to be based on how long your installments are going to be. Because if you're writing, like I am, you know, a 9,000 to 15,000 word epic dissertation, then posting one every other day is, you know, sick. And also, you know, that's time cube area where it's just, you know, that's a little scary. But, and readers are just not going to be able to keep up with it. People don't have that kind of time. So that is a once a week thing, or even a once every 2 weeks thing. But if you're writing a 500 word scene, then yeah, I would say possibly every day or every other day would be more likely. So you have to decide how you're going to break up your work, and then test it out a little bit. Really, there's no harm in trying something out and then seeing how your readers react to, you know, when you get the most readers. You know, you also have to decide what days you're going to update specifically. Even if you go once a week, is a Monday better? Is a Friday better? Is a weekends, you know? But I always recommend talking to your existing readers and seeing what they like, because again, this is an interactive medium. So take advantage of them.
Take advantage.
Yeah. Because most likely they're not paying you, so you might as well take advantage of any, you know, as any way you can.
So about these people you speak of.
These mythical creatures that lurk somewhere known as readers, you mean?
Yes. How do you get that audience?
Okay, well, this is the, you know, question that every single writer wants to know. And when you find it out, by the way, let me know. No, there are several different areas. One way is certainly Twitter. And the way you do that is you follow other writers, as, you know, I hope you do. And you look at who is following them. And then you follow their audience as well and hope for some reciprocal follows. Okay, so that's one way. And you use Twitter as a way to update people of your, well, of your regular life, of course, but also your installment updates.
Right, right. There's this one thing about Twitter that some people don't realize. Well, maybe it works for some people, but typically if you're just using Twitter to say when you have something updated, you likely won't have any people that will care to follow you on the Twitter. Yeah, the best Twitter is to make it personal.
Right. Yeah, it needs to be a conversation that happens. That's really true for almost all of these suggestions that I'm about to offer. The most successful authors are those that are willing to have a conversation, an ongoing conversation with other people in the writing community and the reading community. So that whole Twitter thing is one way. You can also create a Facebook page. That's another way. And then, you know, add that to your, if you have a blog or your website. And hopefully people will start liking that, and other people who are friends with those people will see what they've just liked and perhaps check your serial out. Another wonderful way, and that I'm always recommending, is reading other people's work and then commenting on it in either their blog or if they have a message board on their message board. And you almost always will have a place to put your own link, either in your screen name, it'll be attached to your username, or if it's in a message board, you usually have, you'll have a signature. Mm-hmm. However, when you comment, you do not comment just to plug your own material. That is incredibly bad form.
You'll get shunned real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. Total spam. You comment on the work that you've just read. And if you're not reading other web serials, then you are not doing your job as a writer because, and I have said this so many times on the Epic Guide that people hate me for it now, but it is insane to be a web serial writer and admit that you don't read any other web serials. Just as crazy as a songwriter who never listens to music or a screenwriter who never watches any other movies. You have to know the genre.
It's not necessarily, I will contend you a little bit on that. And it's like, it's not necessarily necessary to keep up regularly on any particular work. It's not particularly necessary to keep up on any general amount or check in here and there to create your own work. It's not necessary to not look at anybody else's stuff and make your own. Though it does create a bit of arrogance, I would argue, to say that you don't look at any other work. It sounds kind of pompous and arrogant. And it happens in the webcomic circles as well when you have other people. Maybe they're kind of famous, so maybe they don't want to just plug anything sort of thing, but it sounds like, really? You don't look at anything else? Really? You don't? I mean...
Right. It's just not... And especially within the web fiction world is so much smaller than the webcomics world that people will know, other writers will know, oh, this is the person who says they don't, you know, look at anybody else's work. And a lot of your readers are going to be other writers. That's just right. How it is, certainly to start with.
Right.
So... reading somebody else's work and commenting on it in an insightful way and, you know, an interested way is a form of goodwill. And also it's great promotion for yourself as a writer. You know, if you can be articulate and say interesting things about somebody else's work, someone is going to click on your link and think, wow, that's, you know, this person, I like what this person has to say, and check you out. So,
well, here's the other thing I wanted to back up on. You know, I'm a big podcaster, and I do have to admit, podcasting does take a lot of time, and now I have a new job, so I'm concentrating on that. But, you know, I don't have the chance to really regularly listen to a lot of many podcasts, but I'll get some here and there at the very least. Mm-hmm. And reading does take a long time. I can totally understand that. I mean, I at the top of my game, I was maybe following 250 webcomics at a time, like regularly. And maybe over the course of the past 5-6 years, I've kept on off and on 500 to 600 webcomics. But, you know, I don't have the time to do
that.
That's
impressive.
It is. And even now, I probably look at maybe 100. But listening to podcasts and reading, that takes a lot more time than opening up a page and reading, you know, one page of comic for about maybe a couple minutes to 5 minutes.
Right. Unless it's like Order of the Stick and, you know, it's incredibly wordy. But which, by the way, I totally love. That is a total compliment for me. So Order of the Stick is a god as far as I'm concerned. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah. Well, of course it's not necessary to read something completely regularly and to read, you know, 15 of them every week. That would just drive you crazy. And you would never have time, of course, to actually write.
Your own stuff.
I'm sort of required to keep up with, you know, as part of my, I'm the administrator of the Epic Guide community. So it would really be an awful thing if I were not conversant in, you know, most of the serials that, you know, post around the Epic Guide and so on. But even I can't keep up with them all the time. But nevertheless, you can drop in every few weeks. And if the serial author is smart, he or she includes a little recap of what's happened in recent installments. That's a really nice trick that you can do to allow your readers to catch up and not feel like, oh god, I'm so far behind, there's no way I can go back. And because people often won't come back.
I've got some I've got some good stuff to share on this. So some of the web fiction that I've been looking at, some of the web fiction world has got from people emailing in, some of which I just kind of poked around randomly on webfictionguide.com, basically going by genres first and kind of quick adding and then vetting them later. And then I went to go and try to contact some of these people. Mm-hmm. And some of them, I'm lucky I found a name attached to the work somewhere and no contact information. And sometimes I just had to basically log in or make an account and post a reply. That sounds absolutely dumb to not have your name somewhere prominent or contact some form of contact information, I think, or something. Otherwise, you know, how would people get a hold of you if they're interested in your work or say to publish it or for one thing, or if they want to read some of it on a podcast, let's say.
Hypothetically speaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting that people forget to do something that basic. I mean, some people don't want their own names out there, and that's fine. Put a pseudonym up.
Yeah, totally. A pen name, if you will.
Right. And Gmail is extraordinarily easy to get an account there. So you just create a unique Gmail mm-hmm. account or whatever, or some other free whatever account, and have it available. I mean, you're going to get spam, okay?
Yeah.
There's most likely, unless you use certain types of getting around that, but
if you're using Gmail, the likelihood of you just getting a whole bunch of spam that enters your inbox, it's like if you want to, you just put dashes instead of the periods and the at sign or something like that. People know. Mm-hmm. People know how to get a hold of you. And right. And one thing about the pseudonym, if you're concerned about your work and the legality of your name or the safety of having your name copyright your name or Creative Commons, check with your local business bureau and look into in your state or however it is to either get an LLC or an assumed name. I have an LLC and an assumed name. It sounds like I could have just got the assumed name, which basically says I'm legally able to do business under assumed name, and it still goes under my name. So it makes it easier in the future for, because Festworks, believe it or not, isn't my actual, birth name or anything like that. But I am legally able to do business as Festworks.
So you're basically setting up a DBA.
Doing business as. So yes. There are options for that. And I don't know enough anymore to go in on about that. But there are options. Research your options. Definitely. You need to build your brand, who you are. And don't change your pseudonym every single time you change a story, unless maybe you're doing like adult stuff, you want to make it have like an adult different pseudonym so you don't link the two together, maybe, but.
Right. And, I should mention that what Fess has just described, or the person who says his name is Fess, just described is that. That is for people if you are interested in most likely selling your work or branding your work, going in a more professional, gloss to your work. But you can just create a screen name or something if you're just planning on posting your work and, for fun and not profit. And you don't have to go through all that. So no money needs to exchange hands in order to post something, some indication that you're a human being that exists and is contactable.
Right. And with that, I actually have a little bit more. I wanted to expand on that, but let me take a look at the list of questions first. My next question is, how do I protect my work from people stealing it? Like, the internet does.
The answer is you don't. the truth is you really cannot protect yourself completely. Once, I'd like to quote one of my favorite sitcoms, News Radio. A character had her image manipulated and placed online, and she demanded that the IT person get it offline. And this character, Joe, said, "You can't take something off the internet once it's out there. It's like taking pee out of a pool." So once your work is out there, it's been published and people can take it because there's just no way to do it. You can do something weird with JavaScript and prevent people from right-clicking, you know.
Yeah,
and
that's one thing I noticed, where it's like you can't like right-click or select the text. Technically, you can still go through and read the code of the page, but that's a pain in the butt, and most people aren't going to go through that work just to copy-paste something to quick share or something like that.
Right, and honestly, 90% of the time, you know, you should be so lucky that that's your problem. But I'm just going to say, I mean, that people like your work or think it's good enough that they want to take credit for it. And I say this, by the way, as someone who's had her work, you know, taken, and I know many people who have. So I understand that it is something that feels, you know, like a violation or something. But the best, you know, one way, of course, is you want to copyright your work. Well, first of all, I should mention, once you put your words down on a fixed place, it's copyrighted. You are legally protected by that. However, there are increasing ways of ensuring that you can then follow through and prove that you have this copyright.
Like registering it, which costs a whole lot of money, but probably...
Well, it's only $35, I think, for official copyright from the Library of Congress if you're in the U.S.
But for each time, you can't say... I mean, you can't do, unless you want to do $35 every single update, you're likely not going to be able to do that unless you have a pre-written story that's already there. You copyright the whole thing and then you update in little chapters and it's in. See, that's that. There's the rub. It's the frequency.
Serialized format, right.
Now, I noticed that Creative Commons tends to be a little bit more. sort of a little bit more protected in the sense that it's kind of. Policed by its by the community in itself.
I don't know as much about that because most of the Creative Commons works that I pay attention to are those that allow for copying and you know, sharing, you know, or sharing with credit.
I thought I saw something before. I maybe what I'm thinking about is wrong.
Oh, but. I highly doubt that.
The other method.
I'm sure you're right that there is a way. I don't remember. Well, hey, one way to do it might be to sign up with Amazon Serials, because if you do that, Amazon has a serial program. Although technically that's not web fiction, you know. But
are you talking about Worlds?
No, that's for fan fiction.
Oh, okay.
Amazon Serials are basically, they will publish your work in a serialized format. It's usually like 6 months of episodes, I think they call them, or installments. It's usually for, again, finished books so that in the end they can sell your novel. But one thing about them is that Amazon will go out and find, you know, any possible conflict of interest as far as exclusivity goes. So that's like one way of making sure you're locked down. But really the best way to do it is, again, put the copyright down, certainly on your page, on your webpage, maintain it, do searches on the web, just, you know, for a unique phrase in your work every now and then.
I might put a copyright at every single entry with your name on it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that should absolutely be the case. Well, I mean, usually your web site will have the copyright.
I know, but then it's like right there in your face and nobody can argue, I didn't see a copyright.
I mean, if someone is that determined to do it, they're going to do it regardless of
But then you can have, like, you can send in a Digital Millennium Copyright Act notice to some people, but then again, you got to sort of try and prove that too. And then if you ever have to go to court on something, then. Which is expensive.
Well, there's the old poor man's copyright, which is where you know, and this is much cheaper. You send it to yourself in a sealed envelope. You get it. It gets dated by the post office, and you keep that thing sealed, and you don't open it.
You don't open it until you, well, like right on the back, what's inside of it, so you always know. But you open it only if you're in a court of law, and then you see it being open. Then it's like documented legally being opened and read there specifically, and then it's okay that it's open. But yeah, totally. Yeah. So hopefully, you don't have to get that far because that's expensive.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, as I said, I've been putting 1.3 million words on the web now for 16 years. And when it's happened to me, I usually go for a couple of approaches. What I try to do is I try to pretend that this person didn't steal it, you know, with malice aforethought. I pretend that they just liked it so much that they wanted to share it. And so I write to them with this in mind, and I say, well, you know, I'm really pleased that you liked my work. You know, that's really great. But, you know, I need credit for it. So if you want to post it, you know, I need you to link back to me. I really appreciate that you liked it so much, but please do that if possible. And if you can't do that, then I do need you to take it down. So now what this does is this gives the person an out, like a mental out. They don't have to think of themselves, oh God, I'm a thief. This person knows I'm a thief and I have to say I'm sorry and da da da. So now they have at least some dignity, you know? Right. And it's surprising that this will actually work sometimes, because people want to avoid embarrassment. And even though this might make you feel like a suck up or you're not being a proud, aggressive writer, what you want is for them to either take the work down or credit you, you know, and whatever works to get those things done, that's what you need to do. So go for the nice approach first. If that doesn't work, then say, look, this work is copyrighted by me, and I need you to take it down, or I'm afraid I'm going to have to go for a cease and desist letter and go the legal stand, you know, the legal.
Yeah, and also, basically, you'd end up contacting their host as well and say, hey, there's one of your users that has my copyrighted material under their name, you know, things, something like that. Contact the host, because the host just, you know, usually typically doesn't want to get involved in most cases, or for most hosts anyway. There are a few out there that everything's completely, everyone can, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And I've actually had one of my works, one of my, like, traditionally published, like, hardcover works or paperback works, posted on Wattpad. And and because it was for teens, and I guess they are not necessarily up on copyright and all that. So flattering, but nevertheless, I contacted Wattpad and they took that thing down in a flash. So yeah, if you contact the host or the community where it's being posted, that obviously is the ideal route to go.
Yeah.
If contacting them in a one-on-one human basis doesn't work. But if, you know, the thing is, again, if you manage to get the nice route to work, then you have a link back to your site. And now you have a fan who feels, okay, you know what, this is actually a decent person and she didn't go all Johnny Law on me. So, you know, you might get yourself a little nachas, as we call it in Yiddish, meaning, you know, it's just something good out of it, you know, a nice little treat.
Yeah.
So don't always go, you know, full on Terminator.
No, no, not right away. No, no, no.
Right.
I actually forgot something. I wanted to back up, and when you were asking about how to find an audience, I'm not sure how much it's used in the web fiction community. I know it is a little bit. The web comic community, I know it's used quite a lot to terrific effect, and that is Project Wonderful.
Yes, absolutely. Of course, there's advertising. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's fine. Are you familiar with Project Wonderful and the web fiction community?
Absolutely. Gosh, I use it like crazy for Wesley Rimo. yeah, I just blast everybody. Like, Project Wonderful is this, I was about to say wonderful, but very useful and extremely inexpensive advertising marketplace or network, I should say, that is used many times on blogs mostly, but on other websites as well. And you can choose the rate at which you want to advertise. You know, you can just create your own budget and say, okay, I have $10. I'm going to spend it, you know, 5 cents on this website, 6 cents on that site, $1.25 on this webcomic site. The webcomics are always more expensive.
Yeah.
And
of course.
But they have a bigger audience, that's why. But yeah, they're absolutely, it's very popular on web fiction sites. And also there's a network called Blog Ads Network. That's much more expensive, but it also gets you greater, a greater showcase. And I'm also an idiot for not mentioning the EPA guide. We have an entire forum, a message board that is devoted to promoting you as a web serial writer. And one of our categories is called Site News and Updates. And you can post your updates every week or every other day or whenever, however often you're posting. You can include a banner. You can include a snippet of your episode. Or installment, I should say. And this is then syndicated, not just to our message board, but it's also syndicated to our Twitter account and also to our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. So you're getting, you know, much more exposure. I mean, okay, we're a fairly small venue anyway, but nevertheless, a reader is a reader. So, right. And we also have banner ads that you can buy, but...
and we also have banner ads on the Webcast Beacon Network as well.
That's right. You use Project Wonderful, yeah. Too. And do you also have a separate banner purchasing thing?
In the past... it never really worked for Web Fiction World because we didn't have really that big of an audience or foothold. But for Webcomic Beacon, we've sold episode spots. So you could sponsor an episode, and then they would also get a banner that stays with that episode post. Sometimes they might go down if the whole site moves. And I guess it would be on you to update the link that you give us, if it ever goes out. Cause there's some where the links don't work anymore, but the banner is still there. But you know, so there's sort of that. And I can't think of a good way to do anything with Web Fiction World on the like reading episodes, because those are just the episodes. There's no advertisements. We're not monetizing the episode in particular. So, I mean, I suppose we can maybe we can work something where somebody can bribe us to read their comic, their web fiction in particular, but I haven't figured that out just yet or what that might entail.
Well, you know, I'm also glad you mentioned podcasts because, again, I forgot the Epicast is another way of promoting your work. And I'm talking about promoting, and I can't even promote myself. So why are you listening to me? But
there's links in the show notes, kids.
Yeah. This is what not to do. Send us installment recaps. These are usually like 250 word little teasers of what happened in last time on your serial installment. Some people are really afraid to give away any little bit of their story because they think, I don't know what they think, that someone is not going to be interested in, therefore they won't need to ever read the story again. But you know, people want a teaser of what they're getting, and it's like a movie trailer in a way. So anyway, you can send us your recaps. You can send us your previews of what's to come. You send us your news, and we'll read it on the air. Like if you are premiering your serial, we'll announce that and include the links. And also, we often ask writers to submit if we have a topic, for example, what are your likes and dislikes about design, design? We ask writers and readers to submit, and we will then, you know, talk about it on the air. And we will link to you if we just happen to mention you on the podcast. So
okay.
These are all great venues for you.
So this is a kind of a long podcast, but there's a lot of information in here. It's getting long now, but okay. So back to the advertisements. I did want to say, if you are text everything, you're not like an illustrated web fiction, let's say you're text, you can always look into Tales of the Big Bad Wolf. I know that SGL has gotten some art here and there that's kind of here and there with her chapters of scenes and characters. It's perfectly legitimate thing to do. What I would avoid is making your ad kind of look like it might be visual, because you're going to get some disappointed people that are clicking that are looking for the art. So I would almost be upfront that and say somewhere that it's a web serial or updating or something like that.
Definitely.
It shouldn't look like it's a webcomic ad. You might get a click, but you're probably also going to get a lot of people that, what the... Because I know that happened with me the first time. I was like, because it's like, I never knew what the web fiction was. I was like, what's all this text? Where's the comic?
Ew,
what's going
don't
on? I
don't want to read.
Yeah. You want to target, because it's like, if you are, you're targeting readers or text readers, basically, people that want to read prose. And if you make your ad look like a webcomic ad, you probably are completely missing your actual target audience too.
Exactly.
Doesn't mean you can't use images or anything, but you know, I've seen people like have a space out a paragraph or some sort of something. You know, it's a little bit tricky. We can have a whole episode talking about advertising, but
right.
we're not going to do that. Maybe we could do that at some point, but not now. Last question. What is the best way that one can monetize on their work?
Well, there is really no one best way, I would say, but...
what are ways?
There are ways, yes. One of the ways that many people choose to use is the simple donation button. You hope fans will... throw in a couple of dollars every now and then, and you offer them incentives. For example, if X number of dollars is raised this week, I will throw in an extra scene with your favorite character, or I will have, you know, a short story in addition to the regular installment. You know, that's one way that people try and get some little gelt in their pocket. Wow, I'm using a lot of Yiddishisms in this one for some reason. Okay. Anyway, so... there's that. Then if you are writing a long form novel that is being broken up, obviously, eventually you want to compile this work and offer it. You can have it formatted correctly by going to Smashwords. I believe they offer a book formatting service, and then you can sell it both in a print version and an ebook version. And you can also create your own ebooks. There's a free software called Calibre that you can install, and it will convert your Word document or whatever to EPUB and PDF and so on. So, and then you can charge for these, obviously. As I said, one option is to go through the Amazon Serials program.
It's Amazon. They're going to want Amazon. A large
yeah.
cut.
It is the evil empire. But yeah. No, I mean, I can't really say that. They certainly perform a useful service. Yeah. And all of my nail polish is from Amazon. So. So it's total non sequitur, but anyway.
Hey, you got to beautify those writing fingers there.
Exactly. Nobody wants to look at just plain nails while you're typing. So, you know, this is one way. You sell it yourself. I mean, more and more people are going the self-published route.
Yeah.
And so having your book available through, again, either Smashwords or Lulu or Indie Books or any number of self-publishing organisms or whatever you call them, you can go through them. And there is a fee, of course. They will take a certain amount of each book, but that is to be expected. You got to expect to pay for that. You want to find someone who will do a nice cover for you. That's important. I mean, if you have some skills as a graphic designer, you could do it yourself. That's certainly a possibility. Or find a nice photograph and someone who is very good at font arrangement and so on. But you need the cover to look good.
Who's that one web fiction writer who's also, she's also an artist, and she did the whole Space Marine fiasco thing that was going on?
Oh, right. Oh, gosh.
I forget her name, but I think she also draws her own stuff, and I think she might also commission artists to do covers as well.
Wasn't that MCA Hogarth?
Yes, it was. It was Hogarth, okay. Yes.
Yes. I don't know how I pulled that out of my head, but
no, it's so. But I wanted to ask, what is your opinion on illustrated work, where you basically you have prose, but like maybe every so few pages, there's like a black and white drawing of a character or a partial scene from the book or something like that.
I think it's wonderful. If you can, again, if you have the skills yourself or you can partner with an artist or pay them, that's also nice. Then the web is a very visual medium. And I think interspacing the text with some kind of imagery, it could also be a royalty-free stock photo of a location, you know, a nice castle, perhaps, if your serial takes place in a castle. There's all sorts of ways that you can get images. And I should mention, of course, that royalty-free does not mean necessarily free. But there are stock photo sites that are free. So you can look that. So I'm absolutely in favor of it. I use it for characters to depict who, you know, what they might look like, and also settings. So I use it in my own work, and I definitely think it's great for other people too.
Yeah, I mean, it's also an option to, in, you know, when you sell your book as well, too. I know there's been there was one particular one I bought off of, it was like Lulu or something, because Jenny Everywhere was a character in it, and somebody wrote about her in The Wizard of Oz, and also there was a drawing of her in it, so I was like, yeah, I gotta buy that, but, because I'm a big Jenny Everywhere nerd.
But I think that is such a wonderful idea. I would love to figure out a way to get that into the web fiction realm.
You know what?
A character that would work in both fantasy and non-fantasy type stories.
She works everywhere because she's designed to. We can talk about her more later. If you want to know about Jenny Everywhere, a.k.a. The Shifter, she's an open source character. go to jennyeverywhere.net or to theshifterarchive.com. And also in August was also August 13th was Jenny Everywhere's birthday, her 12th birthday.
How old was it again?
I think it was 12. And next year, next year, let's maybe see if we can do like a push for something for web fiction, a short story contest or something like that. I don't know, maybe. And then get it on for JennyEverywhereDay.com, which collects like things particularly on that day to, you know, help, you know, get the character known out there. And, you know, that could also be a way for, you know, to build your brand or to show who you are by sort of getting on something that's maybe more popular than you. And, and you know, that sort of thing. Hey, you know what is, you know, I know some people will do fan art and guest comics in web comics. Is there any sort of thing of doing like guest fiction or fan fiction or doing like the April Fool's swap the artists?
Yes. I know at the Epigai we've had a few experiments like that. We've had something called the Web Series Writer Swap, where I think four web serial authors just basically had one installment where they switched writers for that particular installment, and they wrote it in their own style, basically. Well, they had the option to either write it in their own style, you know, because some writers are a little more humorous or campy, and others are darker and more mysterious. So they could do that, or they could try and follow the quote-unquote house style and, you know, match, you know, the original author. So there was that. I'm trying to remember another similar idea.
This is a big, long episode.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. So, no, but there have been, and there has been fan art for serials as well. I remember, I think the Peacock King used to have fan art drawn for it as well, although they were artists too. So, yeah, there's anything. And you know what? I forgot the most basic promotional recommendation of all, which is asking for a link on another author's site, otherwise known as a link exchange. Basically, you link to their site first. That is considered proper etiquette. Then you go to their site and you ask, hey, you know, I linked you. I think you're a great serial. Would you maybe consider linking to my site?
I have to disagree with you on that.
Oh, why? How dare you? But why?
Because it's unsolicited. I don't mean to be mean, but the web, like the webcast Beacon Network, Webcomic Beacon, I even say so on the links page when I had it and the new one that I have there now. We do not do link exchanges, partly because when anybody contacts me, I don't know who they are, and I'm not going to go about and sort of like govern everything. The links that I have on my links page are there because I personally picked those.
Well, but that's entirely up to the person who's getting the request. It's not like you're forcing them.
True.
I mean, you're
true.
Just asking, would you consider it? And then the person can say no, and that's the end of it.
Right.
You can,
you can totally like drop in the inbox. And I've also said it's like people can, you know, like from the Webcomic Beacon and Webcast Beacon Network and Web Fiction World, even you come by, you can drop off something basically. Hustling is all right. It's when you do the constant sort of like don't add me to your tweets every time you update. That's not cool. That's spammy.
Oh yeah, that's obnoxious.
Things like that. I've actually had to block somebody because they kept doing it. And you know, it's like it might sit in my email. I might read it. I might not even get back to you because of the amount that I get. I don't have the time. Some people still ask if I can review their webcomic. We're not set up to review webcomics right now because there's nobody to do it. And so I say, right now we're not reviewing webcomics, but, you know, because it's like that way I kind of remove myself from having to like make a judgment call. It's like, I don't want to review your webcomic because it's kind of bad or something like that. You know, that's the whole thing. It's like, you know, and it's like there's some people out there that don't care about it. It's just not something I particularly want to get into right now. Doing the link exchange things, I think it's a little bit dated, especially when it's unsolicited. But yeah, you can do a drive-by drop-off. Don't keep nagging. Definitely.
Yeah, I'm genuinely shocked that this is considered like controversial. Only because it seems like such a friendly way to interact with another author. I mean,
well, here's the thing.
It's you and I are webcomics. Both getting solicited constantly. I mean, because
right.
We run communities. So it's kind of teeth gritting when you get constant spam. And,
right.
You know, I understand that. But I think from a writer's perspective, I don't mind when someone asks it of me. Mm. And, you know, I don't have any problem if someone has already linked me somewhere. I mean, that's really lovely, as a matter of fact.
Right.
So I don't know. It just feels it makes it more of a community thing rather than I don't know. So I think maybe the perspective is different coming from someone who is constantly getting.
Well, it's
that,
also
basically.
When you're dealing with images a lot, you know, web comics. Maybe it's different. Maybe it's just purely community different. But it's like you can't be like sending an email to, you know, Girls with Slingshots or PvP. Definitely none of the half pixel crowd. Just say, hey, can you link my site? They're the biggest people in web comics
now.
You
yeah.
don't solicit them. What you do is you buy advertising on their site, and if they like you, they'll link you or talk about you. But really, we have advertisement spots for people to buy, especially when you're that big and you're nobody. Now, granted, now I will say they will likely not even click your link because they probably get a whole ton of requests like this. So what you have to do is like if you know you're an absolute awesome web cartoonist, like or cartoonist in general, you have fantastic art. Yeah, maybe you'll get in, and you know, but you know, honestly, you don't go barking up that tree. Now, people that are maybe within like your same range, a lot better possibility that could happen. If you're within your similar sort of readership level, your sort of like tier, quite possibly. I'm speaking mostly from the webcomics position on that. I can only guess that the chances would be similar on web fiction. If there's like some absolute amazing, I don't know who the biggest web fiction writer there is out there, but if you're just starting, you probably won't have a great chance of getting through. Yeah, and they probably get a whole lot of ton, and it's probably because they get a whole lot of ton, they're very annoyed by it, and they... so they might be a little snappy, but you know, it just how it happens. You know, I'm trying to tell you from my end, mm-hmm. and from experience that I've had with other people. Basically, I know in the webcomics community, you don't ask for a link exchange.
That's interesting.
Unless you know them. Unless you know them, you got a rapport with them. If they don't know who the hell you are.
Well, that's also true. That's a part of the idea of building a sense of community by posting in their, you know, telling them that you like their work on their blogs, or if they have a message board, that sort of thing.
That's
a lot
better.
Twitter or whatever. And yeah, again, stick to your own, stick to your own kind. I just threw in there from West Side Story, in case you don't know what that was from. Am I aging myself? West Side Story's got to be known by people in your general. There we go. Okay, so I played Anita, so I had a right to sing that. I would say, yeah, stick to your own general level, but it's okay to go a couple of tiers up. You know, I wouldn't go to what's her name, Alexander Aaron, who does Tales of MU, I believe it's pronounced. You know, a lot of interesting thing about web fiction and odd names, or you know, unusual names, is that you don't necessarily ever hear it aloud, so the readers don't necessarily know how it's pronounced correctly.
Yeah, I've had to get several pronunciation clarifications for the web fiction reading stuff.
Yeah, maybe there should be some kind of glossary or something. But anyway, so she's one of the most popular web serials out there, and mm-hmm. many people have been influenced by her, and they actually think web fiction started with her, which totally didn't. But, anyway, I wouldn't go to her. She's too busy. Forget it. But there's no harm in going to someone who is not necessarily new, but it's just been established, in whom you know, you've written to, and, you know, give it a try. And I personally, from my experience in the web fiction world, I don't think people are hugely upset or annoyed by it. I just don't think we don't have the huge audience that webcomics do. So it's mm-hmm. just a whole different level of traffic that we're talking.
All right. So that is the end of this extra long special episode of the of Web Fiction World at webfictionworld.com. Kira, any parting words?
Well, visit the EBA guide, please. if you're interested in learning about web serials, or if you are a reader, we'd love to hear you. We have a nice community of web serials that have their forums hosted at the EBA guide, so you can learn a little about it. Each different web series. And generally, good luck. I think it is such a fun experiment, and it is a wonderful way of interacting with an audience, and have, you know, experiment with the form as well. Don't just create a whole block of text on a page. You know, try and expand your universe a little bit by including character bios or settings or maps or glossaries of your own fantasy world fiction, mm-hmm. You know, fictional vocabulary or whatever. So just go out and experiment. It's really a relatively new form. So enjoy.
Yeah. There's many things that we could expand upon in this particular episode, and maybe we could, if there's a demand for it, maybe Web Fiction mm-hmm. World, maybe the Epicast, maybe together we could put together a more topic specific episode that if there's demand for it, for us to expand upon and talk about, we can certainly look into that, but we won't know unless you let us know. You can email webfictionworld@gmail.com or what's your email for EpiGuide?
editor@epiguide.com,
or leave a comment in this particular episode's show post.
Yes. Oh, and I should mention that this month, as you were listening to it anyway, this is the Epic Guide's 15th anniversary.
Hooray!
Yay for
Congratulations.
Us. Thank you.
One last thing I wanted to bring up before we go, real quick. Do you guys, or do you, does the Epic Guide or Epicast or anyone in particular do web fiction reviews? Because that might be another question that might be brought up.
The Web Fiction Guide does reviews. They have some wonderful independent reviewers who are mostly readers. And then they have a lot of writers will review other people's work. That gets a little tricky because sometimes writers can be a little competitive and they're not necessarily all that generous toward other writers in their reviews, but they do reviews. And if you can get a review from this one woman who's wonderful, Fiona Gregory, she's awesome.
I'm thinking, if I could somehow add web fiction reviews to either the Web Fiction World podcast or the Webcast Beacon Network website, it'd be something I would entertain, not for myself. I'd have to find somebody else. Somebody would have to volunteer, and then I'd have to vet them.
And there's the rub.
Yeah, make sure that they're less biased. You know, really are going to do the legwork for what they want to do, but
something. I'm thinking. The Epiguide used to be known as the Episodic Review, and we did reviews every. We were more of a magazine in those days, and we did do reviews every issue, and it just became extraordinarily difficult to find independent and objective reviewers, and also some writers really don't take well to having their stuff reviewed less than glowingly. So after having, my own, life threatened a few times, I figured, okay, that's enough.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, I have some precedents or some like prerequisites for when and if ever we have webcomic reviews again on the Webcomic Beacon. And if you submit something, one of the caveats was like, don't submit something if you don't want to hear anything bad or understand that we could really actually hate what you write. And if you fear that we're not going to like anything that you have, don't submit. Was basically the thing. Otherwise, I've typically in the past have tried to just review stuff that I felt could be something that's, I'd like on some level. Like I started doing the Webcomic of the Week recently, where I'm just basically given a couple of paragraphs of, hey, there's some things wrong with it. There's some things I like about it, but here. Mm-hmm. And maybe we could do a web fiction of the week. Maybe that's a little bit lighter. I would totally entertain that if some person or persons would come forward with an interest. I would entertain looking at adding that, even as a micro podcast. I was thinking about doing that. Anyway, it's sort of the end of this episode. Web Fiction World at webfictionworld.com. Kira from epiguide.com, thank you again for coming and answering all of these questions that I had for you, for doing the work for me for the panel I signed up for.
It's my pleasure. I totally excel in doing unpaid work, so.
All right.
Go for it.
And again,
thank you. It was my pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you once again. And once again, you can check this episode's post for all the links that most all of the links. I might miss a few. And if anybody else has any additional information or links that they would like to share, feel free to post that as well. I've been Fess, and this has been Web Fiction World. It's already nine.
I realize I never once mentioned the name of my own cereal. This is what I'm talking about when I suck at self-promo.
What is your own cereal?
My own cereal is about Schuyler Falls.
Okay.
So
you don't give an URL with that either?
skyfalls.com.
Okay, so why were you on my podcast telling people how to promote their stuff again?